You're about to hear another foundational teaching that is designed to help you grow in Christ Jesus. This teaching is entitled On Prayer. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse 12. Then Jesus went to the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. And he said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise'?" Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 56, but I want you to keep your ribbon in Matthew 21. In Isaiah 56, verse 7, the prophet Isaiah said this, "Even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer." See, God wants you to be joyful in his house of prayer. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 21, because there's certain things I want to bring out that I want you to get. Notice, Jesus did not say, "My house should be called a house of deliverance, a house of praise and worship, or a house of teaching. All of these things should take place in church." But Jesus emphasized that his house should be called a house of prayer. Notice what happened when Jesus cleaned the house. The Bible talks about in Matthew 21, and looking at verse 12, how things were taking place in God's temple that should not be taking place. And then Jesus drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple. Then after that, he declared, he made an announcement that my house should be a house of prayer. Then in verse 14, the Bible says, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. So that lets us know that the church should be a place where people should get healed. The church should be a place where people can come emotionally, physically, or have any sickness or disease, and the power of God should be present to heal them. Now, I believe things would change in our city, in our state, and in the nation when believers learn how to pray, and then they respond to the clarion call to prayer and to intercede, so we can see a move of God in our church and in our city and the nation and abroad. Now, the Bible talks about in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. It is a wonderful, powerful passage, powerful verse of scripture that talks about how God is looking for people or looking for a person that he can show his power to be displayed, to be manifested in the earth. Let's look at this. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." We see here the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. So God wants to display his glory in the earth. God wants to meet the needs of people in the earth, but God needs you and I to learn how to pray and then begin to pray effectively. I believe when God placed on a minister's heart to call a prayer meeting, that is when the church, the people of God, should respond to pray in faith. Why? Because when there is agreement, God says in Psalms 133, "I will command the blessing." And there's a classic example when the church came together on behalf of the leaders and prayed. I want you to go to Acts chapter 12. And we'll see how James, he was the church leader, how he was killed. And they had Peter in prison, and they're about to kill Peter the next day. But the Bible talks about something. The Bible says in verse 5, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." So you see here, the people, the saints of God, they was praying for Peter. And not only they prayed, but they constantly prayed. So much so that God called an angel, God sent an angel to the prison where Peter was, woke up Peter, and guess what? God brought Peter out through an angel. And then Peter went to the house where they were praying. They were praying so much that when the girl Rhoda came, after Peter knocked on the door and she was astonished, she told the people, but they paid no attention to her. They kept on praying. Eventually, they caught the revelation that it was Peter. But what got him out of prison? It was prayer. And I do believe when you and I began to pray, those loved ones that are locked in not maybe a physical prison, but in a mental prison, that God will get them out while prayer is powerful. So we want to teach you some basic things, some important things about prayer. Well, the first thing, prayer is the primary function of the church. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Prayer is the primary function of the church. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says this, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So we see here, Paul wrote a letter to Timothy and telling Timothy, hey Timothy, the first thing I want you to set up in the church, I want you to set up the prayer ministry. Timothy, the first thing I want you to do is teach the people how to pray and how to pray for those in authority. Why? Not only because they need the prayers, but that we may live a quiet and peaceable life. Now, so we see here, number one, people who are in authority need our prayers. A lot of responsibility is on them, and we need them to make the best and right decision. So pray that they will not be influenced by people who might have a selfish agenda or not the best agenda for everyone. The second reason why we need to pray first, because the decisions that are made, God wants them to be influenced by our prayers, so we can live, again, a quiet and a peaceable life. The third reason why we need to pray first, because through prayer, spiritual blindness will come off the people's minds, and they can be removed and enable people to make sound decisions for their well-being. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and you will understand what I mean. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, but even if our gospel is hid, it is hid to those who are perishing, whose minds the God, liturgy of this age, has blinded. For what purpose? So they won't believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. See, there is an enemy called the devil, diabolism. And his job is to bring spiritual blindness so people will not believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we see here three reasons why we need to pray. But not only we need to know why we need to pray, we need to understand what is prayer. But I want to give you three basic definitions of prayer. Number one, prayer is man giving God the legal right and permission to interfere in earth affairs. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Prayer is man giving God the legal right and permission to interfere in earth affairs. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Notice God is calling for his people to pray first. That if you pray and humble yourself, then God says, and you seek my face, then I will respond. So we see here, prayer is man giving God the legal right and permission to interfere in earth affairs. Not only that, but number two, prayer is expression of our relationship with God and participation with God's purpose. Prayer is expression of our relationship with God and participation with God's purpose. I want you to write down 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Well, let's go to John chapter 15, verse 7. John 15 and verse 7. It says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Let me read this out of the Amplified Bible. It just adds or amplifies that particular verse or that verse that you're reading. It says it like this. If you live in me, abide vital united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. Number three, prayer is essential for God's will to be done in the earth. So you see here, church work is not only a natural work, but a spiritual work. Reason being because there's an enemy to try to hinder you when you're trying to advance the kingdom of God through the local church. When you make up your mind you want to help your church and do a work for God, you can rest assured, thinking not strange, that the enemy tried to do anything to discourage you or to distract you. Why? Can he recognize that when you begin to help influence the kingdom of God, guess what? You're coming against his kingdom. But the Bible lets us know that we have the victory. Why? Because 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, whosoever born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So we may have a fight, but guess what? We win all the time as we listen to Christ. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 17, you see here is a passage talks about warfare and our fight not against people, but against principalities and powers and rulers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Then it goes on to say that we have to put on our spiritual armor. And so guess what? When you want to do work for God, you got to realize this is a spiritual work and you need to put on your spiritual armor because there's a real enemy that's trying to hinder you. But guess what? He will not defeat you as you stay with the word. Let me give you three basic categories of prayer. Number one, there's a petitional prayer. Now, the petition prayer is not just a general prayer that, oh, God bless me, but it's praying specifically. For example, say you need wisdom for a test. So you say, Father, I ask you, Lord, God, give me the wisdom that I need to help me to study the right thing that I may do well on my test. See, that is a more specific prayer. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. In verse 10, I can give you a classic example of this one man prayed a specific prayer, a specific prayer request. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10. And Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, but notice he didn't stop there, enlarge my territory. He got specific. That your hand would be with me. He got more specific. And that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. That is a classic example of praying specifically. And then in 1 John chapter 5, we are encouraged there to pray the word. And God lets us know that if you pray the word, that God will hear you and God will answer. Now, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, his will is his word, okay? So if we ask anything, if you need favor and you find a scripture concerning favor, that's the will of God. Then you pray, God, let this promise be manifested in my life. We know right there, regardless how you feel, because prayer is not a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. It is taking God at his word and acting on what God said because you believe his word is true. And Jesus says, the word of God says in verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Why? Because we did it according to the word of God. So that is a petitional prayer. But that's not the only kind of prayer God wants us to pray. See, you start off in time just, you know, God, I need this, and God, when you bless me here, and God, when you do this, and that's great, and then why? Because we have needs. God created us with, you know, mankind having needs. But God wants us to not only just pray prayer, the petitional prayers and get our prayers answered, but he wants us to move into a closer walk with God and a better relationship with him. See, God wants us to have a friendship relationship. And friends confide in one another. See, friends trust one another. It's a mutual bond here. So God wants you to have this kind of relationship. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 29. So we want to move to a devotional prayer life. Now, that is when you spend time fellowshipping with God in his word. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 29, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those who get familiar with the Bible, is the fifth book of the Old Testament. Verse 29. And you see this. The secret things belong to the Lord God, Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So we see here, God has some secrets. But guess what? God said, I will reveal my secrets to those who what? Belong to him. Belong to him. God, he said, and to our children. So we talk about a relationship here. So you see here, even God has secrets, but he's willing to share his secrets. Now, go with me to Psalms 25. Since we're in the Old Testament, let's look at another passage. In Genesis, I want to say, whereby, or I would tell you about it, in Genesis 18, begin in verse 16, because Abraham, okay, he had a friendship relationship with God. And I said, you know, friends confide in one another, trust in each other. Now look at this in verse 16. Then a man rose from there, looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with him to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Don't forget, we talked about secrets. So God said, should I hide from Abraham? And since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And so you see here, they have a relationship. So God tells Abraham what's about to take place. Then Abraham begins to consult with God. And guess what? In verse 25, he says this, far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous shall be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? Now that's some kind of strong talk. I mean, see, so you can see here, Abraham saying to God, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So only see friends talk open and frank with each other. You see here, and because they had this close relationship, they're talking, and God and Abraham begin to talk, and because Abraham had a relationship, that God spared that city for a few people, all because, guess what? He felt that he can trust Abraham to intercede, and because they had a good relationship, guess what? God moved that situation. So you want to move into that kind of devotional prayer life. Also, write down Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. And Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5. I want you to read those two scriptures. But let's move on to the third category of prayer. And that is intercessory prayer. That is praying on behalf of another or praying for someone else. Don't forget, petitional prayer, where you're praying for yourself. Devotional prayer, where you're spending time with God, fellowshipping with God in His Word and worship and prayer and praise, where you get to know God. And now, intercessory prayer, where you're praying for somebody else. Sometimes as Christians, we get so much focus on ourselves, we don't pray for others. But what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. So therefore, while you're praying for others, you can rest assured God will put you on somebody else's heart, and they will be praying for you. And so, intercessory prayer, what you pray for us. Now, look at Ezekiel chapter 22. So, God wanted to grow you up in the things of God, where you get your needs met, where you devote, you spend time with God, and then you learn how to intercede for others. In Ezekiel 22, verse 30. So, I sought for a man among them who will make up a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy, but I found no one. Isn't that something? So God looks for people in churches, in families, who are going to stand in the gap for their loved ones. So I want you to really make up your mind, although you may be a new convert or new member, but make up your mind, you know, I want to have a strong petitional prayer relationship with God where I get my needs met. Then I want to move into devotional praying. Then I want to be an intercessor where I can be like Abraham and pray and intercede and see God move on behalf of others and then get saved and get delivered and begin to grow and they'll walk with God as well. Why is that? Because don't forget I said about Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 17. But see, God wants us to engage in spiritual warfare. God wants us to realize that our fight is not against people, our family members, our brothers and our sisters, our loved ones, our in-laws, or church, or denomination, or other races. But God wants us to recognize in spiritual warfare there's a real enemy, and He wants to bind His influence in the earth or operating through people so God can get glory out of their lives. See, we should be praying and binding the forces of darkness, trying to rule over people's life. And now I want you to write down the scripture, Matthew 18, verse 18 and 19. So as the family of God, we have to go in the spirit and war against our unseen enemy to try to hinder your spiritual progress or the spiritual progress of your loved one. And so, and how he does that by trying to discourage. Now, let's go, before I say something else, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Just had a thought. 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 8, let me show you how the enemy operates. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So we see here, God shows us how the enemy tried to operate. But guess what? He will not succeed. Why? Because you're going to be a person that know how to pray and know how to get the victory. See, the enemy tried to keep you so busy that you will not make time to pray or even learn how to pray. He will also try to keep people from knowing who they are in Christ or trying to hinder you from walking in God's best by trying to get you to be ruled by your feelings or feeling condemned or unworthy. But you got to always stay with the Word of God. And the Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 4, since we are in the Old Testament, from 1 Peter, I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 4, and the Word of God encourages, God encourages us not to feel condemned, not to feel unworthy, but in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says this, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, God gives a wonderful passage. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So God does not want you to be condemned. I see that God wants to raise up churches who will see the need for the power to be demonstrated now. And God talks about in James chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, he wants your prayers to be effective and fervent, that your prayers may accomplish much in the earth. So the question you may ask yourself, how can I pray and get more results? Well, I want to close out by giving you 7 basic types of prayers that you can pray and guess what? And get results. Now, to get results, in short, one, you have to do this. Believe God's word. Believe what God says about prayer. And then act on God's word. And then do whatever he says. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying always with all prayer or with all kinds of prayer. Now, there's 7 basic types of prayer. Number one, there's the prayer of thanksgiving and praise. In Matthew 6, verse 9, Jesus encouraged us, when you start praying, you should start out with praise. That's why in our worship services, we start with praise first. Because God wants us to begin to praise him first. Psalm 22, verse 3 talks about God inhabits the praises of his people. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, God wants us to set aside some time just to pray before he hid. God is worthy. He's a healer. He's a way maker. He's an encourager. Whatever you know God to be, he wants us to start our prayer in giving God praise. Focus not on God, give me something, but God, I want to magnify your name and I want to exalt your name. Now, also in Psalms 100, verse 4, so you want to start your prayer with thanksgiving. God, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you, Lord God, and consult you on this matter. And God, I praise you, Lord God, that I'm going to get the answer. So you thank them and you just give God praise. Now, Psalms 100, verse 4, it says this. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise and do what? Be thankful to him and bless his name. So you see here, God wants you to pray a prayer of thanksgiving and praise. So you want to start out your prayer with praise and thanksgiving. And you want to close your prayer with thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer. Not some things, but pray about everything. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. So in your prayer, you should be thanking God in advance for what you believe God to do. Number 2. We talked about the prayer petition. So, you know, that's another type of prayer, and that's found in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Then number 3 is the prayer of agreement. Now, the prayer of agreement is a powerful prayer. Now, that's when you find another believer to pray with you on a particular issue or concern that you may have in your life, but you want to find a believer that has some fruit in their life, who have a conviction, and God answer prayers, and they're going to believe right with you. They're not going to be doubting or wondering and say, man, I don't know, I don't want to do that. Now get somebody who's going to believe the word of God with you. And when you pray, Jesus gives us a promise about the prayer of agreement. Now Matthew 18, verse 19 says this, again I say that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. The Amplified says it like this. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, making a symphony together about whatever, anything and everything that they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. And so therefore, now the prayer of agreement where one person prayed about a particular concern and the other just was supported, say, amen, so do I declare that to be so. Or one person prayed, then another person prayed as well. They agreed together and Jesus gave us a promise. If we pray, touch and agree concerning whatever we ask, wisdom, favor, peace, whatever the case may be, God promised to answer that prayer. Then, number four is the prayer of binding and loosing. Now, in verse 18, that same passage, Jesus said, "Verily I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And the Amplified says it like this, "Whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven." So in other words, you can bind sickness and you can bind disease and you can bind anything that you know that should not be taking place in your life. And you can lose peace, you can lose joy, you can lose faith, you can lose spirit of understanding, you can lose God's blessings. Whatever you don't want to happen, you bind those forces. And whatever you want to see happen, loose the promises of God in that area of your life and watch God move. Number five is the prayer of intercession. Now, the prayer of intercession, now we talked about that's praying for somebody else. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says this, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." So sometimes you may not know all the facts, or you may feel so moved by the situation, you may not know how to put in words what you want to pray for. Then, because if you already have the Holy Spirit, with evidence of speaking in tongues, you can pray in the Spirit, and guess what? The Spirit of God can take that prayer up to heaven and communicate that to God the Father, and sometimes as you pray in the Spirit, God can speak to you in your spirit and give you the mind of God and the heart of God so you can pray the perfect will of God in that situation and expect God to move. Then, number six is corporate prayer. And that's found in Acts chapter 12, verse 5 and 10, which we already read that particular verses earlier about when Peter was in prison. And then there is praying out loud. You don't. Sometimes you can come to intercessory prayer group, and people praying out loud, and you don't have to feel ashamed. It is Bible sometimes to pray together, and everybody praising God out loud, and everybody praying, offering up their prayers to God out loud, and seeing God move. Now, I want to give you that verse before we close out. Acts chapter 4, verse 24. Acts chapter 4 and 24. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them." Verse 25, "Who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nation rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together." Verse 29, "Now, Lord, look on their threats. Grant to your servants that with all boldness that they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Verse 31, "And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." They prayed out loud, they prayed specifically, and God moved. So that's the seven basic types of prayer. And I want to give you three scriptures so you to memorize and meditate. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, Luke 10, verse 19, and Ezekiel 22, verse 30. And I want to pray with you that you have a great, powerful relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Bow your head and let me pray for you right now. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for these precious people. People that who accepted you as the Lord and Savior and desire to have a great relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And God, we know prayer is the lifeline of the believer. So Father, I pray every time they call on your name and pray according to the Word of God. God, I thank you. They're praying faith. And Lord, as you communicate to them through the Word of God and through prayer and to their hearts, that Lord, that they will grow in their relationship with you, seeing how you will just meet their needs through petitional prayer. And you'll spend time with them as they pray devotional prayers. And as they intercede for others, God, I thank you that you'll do great things. I pray, God, anoint them to pray. And God, I thank you they will experience tremendous results with you. God, I pray your blessings be upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next time, I want to encourage you to keep walking by faith.